Greetings to you all in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As my name was announced, I am K. Paulus. I am coming in America. This is my first time, and many people has asked me, when are you going to retire? I told them, when my Lord retires me, I will retire. I thank God for giving me this opportunity to share from the God's word in the midst of you, and to be a witness for the Lord. I am also thankful to the elders of this assembly and the responsible brethren and all the believers over here. May our great God bless you, and you may be a channel of blessings in the coming days to many. I was born and brought up in a Christian family. God has saved me in the year of 1968, and I was baptized, and I was with fellowship in the local assembly in Kerala. And in 1976, the Lord has called me for his ministry, and from that time onward, I am in the service of the Lord. As family, we have been serving the Lord in northern India, especially in the northern part of India, the state of Bihar, Jharkhand, and then Maharashtra. And through our humble efforts, Lord has enabled us to establish assemblies in these places, wherever the Lord has sent us. And I am very glad about that. The Lord has been so gracious and faithful to us in the past years in the ministry. We have been serving the Lord in northern part of India in the past 40 years. The Lord has raised several brethren in the assemblies to carry on the ministry in all those places. And the Lord is at work in those places, and the work is going on. And finally, we were in Pune. We went there in the year 2011, and an assembly was established there. Actually, we went there in the year 2007, and we started an assembly testimony over there in 2011. I was able to baptize 30 people from the local place, and right now there are about 50 believers in that assembly, and there are two evangelists and the elders over there, and the ministry is going on. The evangelist names are Moses Eric Swami and Babu John. And one more gathering is going to take place shortly in Pune, which is 20 miles away from the city. The assembly in Pune is registered in the name of Brethren Fellowship, Ebenezer Brethren Fellowship, as a charitable trust under the Society Act with the Maharashtra government. so that we have got a permission in a place to be used as a graveyard. It is very difficult in these days, especially in North India, to get a place for a graveyard. But the Lord has enabled us to get that place. I thank God for that. And we have got permission for that. The believers in Pune, right now, they are gathering in a rented place. And we are in need of an assembly hall. And we have started, we have opened a bank account in the name of the assembly, which is registered in the name of Ebenezer Brethren Fellowship. Right now, we cannot accept, receive foreign funds in that account. Now, we have to open an account, FCRA account. The people, the believers over there are not rich people, and sometimes we ourselves has to help those people. The situation is like that, and we have to I request you to pray for that, to have an assembly hall. Actually, a place like Pune in these days called as a second Bombay, the rate of the property is increasing like anything. if there are, Lord has given you a burden in your heart, you are welcome. And if you want to support for that, you can contribute through the gospel funds, such as GFTI, KM Fund, IET, and General Gospel Fund. In that registration number, we can do a lot of work, such as old age home, Bible school, and then institutions such as colleges, hospitals, and all. And we give first preference to have an assembly hall first. If the Lord permit us to do some more work, and that would be after that. In between the 40 years of the ministry in the North India, we have shifted, we have lived in 20 houses. Many of you may know that shifting to one place to another, or even if it is nearby, it is not that much easy to shift the house. And we have lived 20 houses. That is from ordinary people to highly qualified government offices, houses we have lived, such as sales tax commissioner, magistrates, police officers, even high court judges' house. And wherever we went, we didn't have any problem to get a house, because the North Indian people, especially from Kerala, they would like to give a rented house. In that way, we got, and in that sense, we didn't have any problem. We have stayed in Hindus' house, and Muslims, and even normal Christians' houses. Bihar is known as, some of you may be knowing that, that is missionaries' graveyard. They don't bother about killing even it is a missionary or whoever it may be, even for 10 paisa, even for 10 rupees, they are ready to kill the people. So many missionaries has laid their life in Bihar in such a way that because of that, that name has come out that we can say. While we were in North India, being in the midst, being in the service of the Lord, we have, and I would say the Lord has permitted us to go through our different difficulties and problems, physically, mentally, and even financially. Even though we have gone through situation like that, the Lord has so gracious. He has been so gracious to us, and we were happily receiving what the Lord has brought to us. I remember once in our family, there was nothing. Me and my wife and three children together have been staying in a house. There was nothing for the lunch. And we have been looking unto the Lord, and He miraculously, Lord provided the food in a such a way that from 20 miles away, a Hindu boy came to us with a bag full of rice and vegetables. And we didn't know that. And even now, for me, it is a mystery. And we had, lunch with the cooking with those things. It was a Hindu boy. Nobody knew that. But the Lord never allowed us without having food till now. And He has been so good to us in His precious ministry throughout all these past days. And another incident happened. Before we go to worship, we had 25 paisa to put as an offering. 25 paisa. And we gladly went to church and worshiped the Lord happily and joyfully. And whatever we had, we put and we offered to the Lord. And another thing, once happened, once my son, he was studying in second standard. He went to the school, and in his classroom he was writing with a small pencil. It was a piece like this. He was writing. And his class teacher came to him and took it and threw it away. The little boy came to us after the school And he told his mom, "Mom, tomorrow I will not go to school." And she asked, "What happened, son?" He said, "My teacher took my pencil and threw it away." Now, what I want to tell you is this. In this kind of situations, we have gone through, but we never, ever complained our great God. And we never, ever murmured for anything. In these days, many, even many preachers, well-known preachers, they want to become more and more famous in different aspects. A few months back, a servant of the Lord met with an accident, and he went to be with the Lord. One of his daughter was abroad, and she sent an email mentioning that my father was not a famous man, but he was a faithful man. To become famous, that is very easy. But to become faithful, it is not that much easier in these days. God wants people like those who fear God and those who are faithful. So, beloved, our great God wants us to be faithful wherever the area the Lord has kept us. We have to be. You know, that's what our Lord wants from us. In Bihar, we have been staying in a sale tax commissioner house. We stayed there near about 5 years in his house. And he was a Lutheran background, Christian background, and he never knew our Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't have an experience with the Lord. The time when we enter into his house, and we have been staying, and we have been staying there as a rented. We used to tell him the gospel. And we have shared hours, even in the night, 4 hours, 5 hours, when the servants of the Lord, God, comes from different parts of India. Through them also, we have visited several times. At that time, he used to tell us against the Lord. Then he has been watching us throughout 1 year. The people come to our house. We sing and rejoice and share from the word, and we pray with happily and joyfully. He has been watching that. After 1 year, he came to us and he said, "Mr. Paulos, I want your Jesus whom you preach." And then and there, he knelt down and received Jesus as his personal Savior and Lord. Lord wants us to be example in our lives, wherever we may be. Doesn't matter. how we are. That's the most important thing in our life. We have to be an example. We should live an exemplary life to others, so that even through our lives, many may come to know the Lord and taste Him. If we don't have a good testimony, whatever we may preach and whatever we do, it won't work out. And these days we have very sad things from different corners among the believers, among churches, very sad news. What about us? We have to search our hearts where the Lord has kept us, where the Lord has put us. We should know what is the purpose and plan for me being in this country. Many people, they say that whenever they take decisions, they say that is all are God's will. No. It won't be God's will. They think that is God's will. We should know the will of the Lord about us, about me being in this country. As I know, now I have visited several places, different country has got their own standard. They are keeping the standard. This country is the most developed, and the standard is the most high. In every sense, I would say. And we have to consider about those things that the Lord has kept, the Lord has brought me in this place. May our great God help us to be a great witness for Him in the coming days. Once an evangelist was traveling in an airplane. And after some time he was in the plane, and air hostess came to him. And then he asked the air hostess, "What is the most important thing in your life?" She said, "It is very difficult to say." And he said, "As I know, suppose it is." And after that, he asked, "Imagine if you would have a son having enough age to send him to college, what would you do?" She said, "I will send him to a college." And then he said, "There was an evangelist. There was a servant of the Lord named D.L. Moody. And he said, if he is a person who is stealing the nets and bolts in the railway track, after his return from the college, he will steal all the railway track." Wherever I go, even the public, I ask this question: what is the most important thing in our life? Two brothers were staying, living in a place, they were Catholics. They were, both of them were adulterers, they were murderers, they were violators, and they did every evil things in their life. After some time, one of them died, and the other brother went to a priest, and he asked, and he requested him, Pastor, a priest, please declare him. He was for the funeral service, he was a saint. Just to declare him, he was a saint. After a few minutes, the pastor said, the priest said, okay, I'll do that. The brother told him, whatever you want, I will pay. Just you declare him, you proclaim him, you announce him as a saint. When the funeral time came, and the pastor, looking at this coffin, and he was telling, the man in the coffin, he was an adulterer, he was a liar, and he did every evil things while he was on this earth. And he said, compared to his brother, he was a saint. Beloved, sin is not an action, it is an attitude. Sin is not an action, it is an attitude. A true Christian life is a changed life. A true Christian life is a committed life. A true Christian life is a separated life. If those three things goes together in a believer's life, the Lord will be pleased like anything. That's what our Lord, he wants from us. To lead a true Christian life, it is that much easier, as other people say, to say something and be like that, it is difficult. For our short time meditation, I would like to turn your attention to our first century church. There are different qualities, and we find out in the scripture, in the Bible, about the first century church. Mainly, I want to focus on the first century church, five major qualities of the first century church. Shall we turn the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 47. Book of Acts. Chapter 2, verse 47. If anybody would read, you can. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And here we see the first century church was a growing church. We know that, we all know that in these days, how the churches, the numbers of the churches are increasing. We know. It may be splitting it. And then we see the first church recorded in the Bible, the numbers of the believers has been increasing. The believers of the numbers were increasing daily. That's what we read here. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily. And the Lord added to the church daily. It means daily, day by day, sinners has been served. And they had been adding to the church daily. Daily people served, multiplying and increasing, preaching the gospel are very essential. Many people think that in the churches it's not essential, it is not important to preach the gospel. I think in these days, in the church, we should preach the gospel. Many people think that it is only for the outsiders. No, no, no. In the church, among the believers, it is needed. The great man of God, few months back, he went to be with the Lord, as we all know, Billy Graham. Once he said, preaching the gospel is the greatest job in this world. Preaching the gospel. Have you ever heard that? Preaching the gospel is the greatest job in this world. And we know that. It's true. As we think of it, as we know it, preaching, it is not only a job of an evangelist or elders. No, no, no. When we come to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, we see the Lord Jesus, he commands to his disciples, go and preach and make disciples. Go and preach. And in these days, you know what is happening. People want the others to come to him and to preach the gospel. No, no. The command is to go and preach and make disciples. And I was telling in my local assembly in Kerala, telling that, suppose if we are having a system that pastors or evangelists, the transferring system, as many other Christian communities are having. If you are having such a system, I ask, how many of the evangelists from Kerala will go to an North Indian states? Everybody agreed, no one will go, because the living standard and the facilities in Kerala are entirely different. Once it happened, While we were in Ranchi, one of the elder, he was from Kumbanad, and he went to Kumbanad, and at that time it was a rainy season. In Kerala it continued several months. The time was raining. And he went to a preacher, he went to an evangelist, a well-known evangelist, and he asked. And he requested him, come to Ranchi and we will visit some of the villages and will preach the gospel among the village people. You know what he said? I will not come. He was not having any program, and such people sometimes they have to wait either for a convention or a conference. And I would say seasonal speakers. Very sad thing. You know, people want to, you know, become very famous. And we know that in these days, in which way some of the people are becoming famous. I am not criticizing them, but your and mine work will prove who we are, what we believe. That is the most important thing. If we don't have a testimony like that, we have failed. Wherever and whatever we may preach, it won't worth. And I know that while I was in Kumbanad for a short time, Bible school, why Ezekiel, you may know him, many of you, he was my class teacher, and he was telling that once he went to Arabian countries, Gulf countries, to visit the assemblies over there, and somebody, somehow or other, told a CID that such and such person is going to Gulf countries, follow him. The things didn't happen in his life. Some people told the CID. And you know what happened? The CID followed him. When he went to Gulf countries, the CID was after him. And he came back. And some of you may be knowing that he was in America also. After his visit, he returned to India. And the same CID was following when he came to America. Wherever he went, he was following. But the servant of the Lord, he didn't know that the CID was following him. After returning back to India, the CID told that God's servant, sir, I have been following you, and I didn't see, I didn't find out any wrong doing or wrong thing in your life. He did give a good certificate. The life from outside, the Lord wants like this. Here we see the first century church was a growing church, daily growing, multiplying, increasing, preaching. That is very important. The church had a great power in those days. Great power. In these days, what is happening? Is the Lord changed? Does his strength decrease? Never. The same Lord is today. The same Jesus is today. The same strength is there. But in preaching and in our living, there is problem. There is no problem with our Jesus, with our Lord. There is no problem with him. Problem is with us. First century church was a growing church. In connection with this, there are a lot of words, but time is going. And obviously, the Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, there we see the one of the qualities of the first century church. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Anybody can read it.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
I think there is no need of explanation. We see, I'll go way past, and we see here the first century church was a glowing church, was a shining church. And we have got several examples in the Word of God. There's no time to go there. I will point out the qualities of the first century church. Here we see the first century church was a shining church. When the Lord has called us in this world from the darkness and he has given us his light to shine among others, and we should be shining in our Christian life everywhere, wherever we go, it should be there. Then others can understand. And they will come to you and me and they will ask, what is this? Can you share? And the Lord will help and the Lord will guide each one of us. And tell the importance. And the third one is, it was a going church. We see Acts 8:4-5, 14, 9 verse 32 to 35, Romans 10 chapter, verses 14 to 70. And fourthly, it was a giving church. It was a giving church. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 7, 10 and 11. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. There are connective verses are there. And finally, it was a groaning church, praying church. You should be praying for others. You say, as we know, we should follow what our Lord Jesus has taught us. And in the first century church, it was an example to follow in our coming days. May our great God bless each one of us in the coming days, that we may be a channel of blessings to many, and may God bless you. Thank you.